Amen. And we're looking forward to great, great things. Genesis chapter 48, verse number 8. A little bit of a lengthy reading here, and I apologize for that. But you'll be sitting for a little while. Genesis 48 and 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "These are my sons whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. He brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." And when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head." And his father refused and said, "I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." And he blessed them that day, saying, "In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. God would help us tonight. Something I felt the Lord deal, I felt like very clearly with me today. I want to preach about why God chose Ephraim. Why God chose Ephraim. Amen. Let's pray. Let's ask for the help of the Holy Ghost. God, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for every heart that's gathered here. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, God, all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the opportunity to gather in this house of prayer and make it a house of worship tonight. I ask you again for that anointing to speak the word of life, God. And I pray that you would anoint the ears, the hearts, the minds of this people to hear, to receive, and respond to your word, God. I pray tonight would be a night of revelation, God. A night, God, of breaking some things and some hearts and some lives, God. Tear down some strongholds tonight, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And somebody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. The life of Joseph is a very interesting story. He is the 11th son of Jacob, but he's the first for Rachel. And Joseph is one of the most honorable men in the Bible. In fact, it seems like the name Joseph fits several men that are very honorable in the Word of God. And Joseph is known for his integrity. His integrity. For many years, when we just had three girls, I joked that when I'm a boy one day, I'm going to name him Kip. Kip. And everybody wondered where that name come from. And I said, I don't know. It just, because I was kind of thinking Kip Beaudry. And I thought, that's a lot like Chick Beaudry. And so I thought, I just joked, I'm going to name him Kip Beaudry or Kip Montgomery, just some cowboy name. And so my wife, she compromised. She let me have Kip, but she didn't let me have Beaudry or Montgomery or nothing like that. So we had to think of a middle name. And I thought, you know, if there's one attribute that I would like for my son to have, it would be that of integrity. Amen. I want him to have integrity. And so Joseph was a man of tremendous integrity. And his rags to riches story takes him from a pit all the way to a palace. He is a virtuous young man who somehow is able to maintain a pure character throughout the most trying of circumstances. He's a man who proved that prison walls don't make a prison, and that God's promises are true and amen. But still, at the end of the day, he was still a human. He was a man. He was not perfect. And seemingly, I believe he was scarred by the hurts of his family's wrath. Because of his brothers, he was both a slave and a prisoner. Because of his brothers, he had to suffer for many, many years. And so many years later, even after being exonerated and promoted, his wounds still remain. The scars are still evident in his life. I want to make a simple point here tonight, and this is not my message, but the most fertile ground, the most fertile soil for the seeds of bitterness is righteousness. Now I'm going to explain this. The most fertile ground for bitterness is in the pure heart and the innocent soul. For when you have been when you've been wronged, while you're doing your best to be right, it hurts a whole lot more. But amen, if it's the unjust soul that's wronged, and they feel maybe it's deserving, or maybe it's payback for their wrongs or their lifestyle. But it's when you've done your best to be what God wants you to be, and you're still done wrong. Amen. It brings a whole level of confusion, and it brings a person to question, why did God let this happen to me? I'm trying to be a righteous person. I'm trying to be a pure, innocent person, and yet I've been hurt and I've been wronged. Amen. I want to tell you what, I'm glad that God's still able to break the chains of bitterness. And bitterness is a whole lot more of a problem in Pentecost than we really want to admit. In fact, it's a problem in our society today. Amen. But thank God, God heals the bitter heart. Oh, help me, Jesus. But Joseph was pure, and Joseph was innocent. God had chosen him, and God had given him these dreams, and he was deeply hurt by his family's reactions. He was deeply offended by the way his brothers had stabbed him in the back, as they say. He was deeply offended and destroyed by, amen, their lack of confidence in him, and affected him, amen, the rest of his life. And it's evident that this man had deep wounds and some deep scars when his brothers arrive on the scene in Egypt that day. And they're there because of a famine, and they're there to buy food, and they don't recognize it. This is their brother Joseph. He's not dead, he's alive. He's exactly where God had placed him, in a position of tremendous power and authority. And Joseph recognizes his brothers and yet refuses to identify that I am your brother. I'm not dead, I'm alive. That the hand of God's been upon me. Rather, Joseph says, you're nothing more than spies. And Joseph begins to kind of play a cat and mouse game, if you please, and he begins to inflict a man's pain upon them. He's not acting like a pure, innocent man, but you can see he's being motivated by some wounds and some scars from some bitter feelings. And So he says, I'm going to put you in the ward for 3 days. And they say, look, we've got to go home. We've got a younger brother named Benjamin. He says, you go bring that boy back. You send one of you to go get the boy and bring him back. And they say, we can't. We've got to all go. And he said, I tell you what, you leave one here and you rest, go back and you get that brother and you bring him back to prove yourself. And so they go home. And they tell their father the story. He's weeping. He's lamenting. They're sorrowful. The famine doesn't end. And they say, we've got to go back. We've got to buy more food. He won't see our face without Benjamin. And so they take Benjamin back. And they finally say, here we are. This is our brother. Amen. And the game continues. And so Joseph sees Benjamin. He does not want to identify himself. And he has to excuse himself. And his bowels burst with tears and feelings and anxiety there. And he goes back and they eat. And he sends the boys back. And he says, amen, put the cup in the youngest boy's sack. And they're on the way home. And Joseph overtakes them and says, I blessed you and I was good to you. And yet you stole from us. And they said, we didn't steal. Let the one that stole die. And so they search the bags and find the cup in Benjamin's bag. And he says, all right, you're going to come back with me. The rest of you go home. He's still playing a cat and mouse game. Brother, these boys are sad. They're upset. They're scared to death. Finally, they begin to open their heart and tell of their past. And we can't leave without the boy. We got to take Benjamin home or we'll lose our daddy to him. Finally, Joseph can't take no more. He weeps and he cries and he reveals that he is Joseph. I am your brother. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Amen. God put me in this place to help you and protect you and preserve you. But there is a man. We see the throes of a tremendous battle with bitterness and pain from his past. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord together. Come on. Let's talk to the Lord for just a moment here tonight, church. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Help us tonight, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And so here is Joseph. Life is going on. Dad comes. The brothers are there. They're in the land. And life is good. And Joseph has a son. And the Bible said they called him Manasseh, which means to forget or causing forgetfulness. As if he was finally saying now, I'm going to get past my bitterness. This boy that I have, this blessing of God is going to help me get past the pain of my yesterday. Finding now, I can kind of get past the scars from my dad and the scars from my mother and the nightmare of my family life. And I can get past being a victim of a bad environment. And the Bible said he has one more son, the second born. And he said, I will call him Ephraim, which means doubly fruitful or doubly blessed, referring to the current blessings of God and the future blessings of God. And so time rocks on. Finally, Joseph takes his two sons to meet their grandfather. He wants his dad to put the blessings of God upon his two sons. And there they are, and Jacob begins to take those hands and put his hands upon the heads of Manasseh and Ephraim, and he wants them to receive the blessings of God, to receive spiritual inheritance and find the favor of God upon their lives. And Joseph understands that you always put the right hand upon the head of the firstborn. The right hand represents power and authority. The right hand of God, and the right hand goes upon the firstborn son. He's the heir to all the blessings of the Father. He's the inheritor of all the glory and the authority that his daddy had. And Joseph thought, today is the day that God
God will put his favor upon my firstborn son, Manasseh.
But when he brings them boys up, he guides Manasseh towards his father's right hand. And he guides his youngest son, who gets the leftovers, to his left hand. But God said, no. No, Joseph, not today. We're not going to do this the way you think we are. And God somehow made a man cross his hands. And God said, I want my favor upon the second born. I'm not putting my blessings upon the head of Manasseh. I'm putting my hand, my blessings upon the head of the second born. I'm not putting my blessings upon that which says, help me get past my past. I'm putting my blessings upon that which says, I am blessed of God, and tomorrow I'll be more blessed of God. What God was saying is, if you want my spotlight on something, it will not be upon the heartache and the nightmare of your past. I'm putting my spotlight on my blessings from today and from this day forward. I'm not blessing your past. I'm blessing your tomorrows. Oh, somebody give God some praise tonight. Oh, come on, church. God's going to help us tonight. You see, what God was saying was, Joseph, you've got your focus in the wrong area, son. Your focus is on Manasseh, on your past, on the pain of yesterday, upon your scars and your trials. But God said, from today forward, I'm changing your focus. And from today on, your past is not the main thing in your life. It is that you're blessed by the hand of a mighty big God. Come on, somebody, don't glory in your trials. Don't glory in your past. But say, thank God, I've been changed. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. God did not want the attention of heaven upon that which symbolized the heartache, the pain of maybe a dad that didn't understand, or a mom that wasn't around, of the hurt because he's a victim of some unfortunate circumstances. Hey, we've all got our stories tonight. I'm looking at people here tonight that you've got your story. You've got your problems. You've got your wounds. And you've got your scars. But I've come with a word from God for somebody tonight. It's time from tonight on. You quit focusing on your Manasseh and say, bless God, I've got an Ephraim in my life. Hey, the blood has washed my soul clean. I've got joy. I've got peace. I've got hope. I've got a future in the church. My God. Come on, I'm telling somebody. Quit dwelling on the hurts of your yesterdays and focus on the hope of a brand new tomorrow. Oh, let's love the Lord. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I've got an Ephraim. I've got an Ephraim. I've got an Ephraim. I've got hope. I've got a brand new start. Let me tell you something now. God didn't disband Manasseh. God didn't kick him out. God didn't get rid of him. He'd always be there. But that was not his focus. It's on Ephraim. I want to tell somebody, there's some things you can't undo and you can't change. And that Manasseh will be there all the rest of your life. And you can't undo that. And you can't change that. But bless God, that's not the focus of my life. The focus is, I have a Ephraim. The blessings of God on my life and on my family. I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm not cursed. I'm not bound by Manasseh. I'm
been set free by the favor of God.
I'm going to tell you about this God that I serve. The God that I serve, he doesn't dwell too much in yesterday. He's more of a right now God. He's more of a today God. Amen. He forgets the past and keeps us pressing toward the future. God has never wanted his people to be ruled or restrained or refrained by their yesterdays. He said, I'd rather you be a whole lot more like the Apostle Paul, who said, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. I've let go of the nightmare called my yesterdays, and thank God I'm pressing for a brand new tomorrow. Somebody ought to tell your past, you don't own me, you can't control me, you can't bind me. I've got a brand new master leading me and guiding me.
I need you to help me pray right now, church. Come on. I'm hitting some major walls here tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Devil, you're a liar. I rebuke the chains of past mistakes. I rebuke the chains and the nightmares of the past hurts. Amen. I rebuke bitterness. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. God, heal somebody tonight.
Let me just say something here. I'm sorry you weren't raised in the church. I'm sorry your parents didn't raise you in a one God pew. I'm sorry your daddy beat you. I'm sorry you were molested. I'm sorry you didn't have a good godly home. I can't change that. And I'm not being cocky tonight. I really am tonight. I'm sorry about you being a victim of a bad lifestyle. But what do we do? Just say, well, I'm always going to be a victim. I'll never achieve what God said. No, no, that's Manasseh talking. Ephraim says, but that don't own me anymore. I'm a brand new man. You're a brand new lady. I've got God in my life. And should God tarry, I'll make sure that my kids are raised in a good godly home. Come on, Ephraim.
My God.
God says, let's move forward. What do you say? The Bible tells us a familiar story in 2 Kings. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives, the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband's dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. The creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. I've got a problem because of my past. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? You need God? Tell me, what do you have? What do you have for him? What are you going to give for this? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, and borrow not a few. Son, God gave her a blank check. What do you have? I have nothing. You fixing to have a whole lot.
He said, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live. And live. And live. Your past says you're going to die. But God said, oh no you don't. You're going to live. Manasseh says, I'm going to die. Ephraim says, oh no you're not. You're going to live. Amen. I'm telling somebody, God don't need a whole lot to turn your world around. Just give God what you have and let God put your life together. Somebody give God a shout of praise tonight. Come on. By yourself, you'll wreck your life. But with God's help, but with God's favor, you can be blessed. God took care of her yesterdays. He took care of her past, of the haunting footsteps that hounded her every day of her life, and said, alright live. I got a word for somebody tonight. Live, live, live. You ain't gotta die. You ain't gotta backslide. Live, live for God. Somebody help me tonight. Come on. Maybe this will help somebody. Notice what he said. She said, the creditors have come for payment. In other words, I've wasted some things. I've lost some things. And God said, what do you have? God, oh my God. Some of you, if you only felt what I felt tonight, you couldn't just sit there. God is not interested in what you wasted. He wants to know what you have left. God doesn't care about wasted years and wasted potential. What God says is, have you got the strength to live right now? He can't undo your past. But Ephraim says, let's go forward in Jesus' name. My God, let's praise the Lord together. Come on. Hallelujah. It don't matter what you lost, what you still have to give the Lord. I've seen too many new converts and too many saints that when they come to the altar, when they pray, there's a time to weep, but after a while, there's got to be a joy of the Holy Ghost. That it's not always poor, pitiful me. That's Manasseh praying. Ooh, I'm walking amongst you tonight. That's Manasseh saying, get your head bowed. Manasseh saying, you poor, pitiful thing. You poor little victim. Man, you've got so much baggage. You'll never fit in around this church. Well, guess what? We've all got baggage. But thank God, it's under the blood. And the difference is, I told my Manasseh a long time ago, shut your mouth. I'm ruled by an Ephraim. I'm not dwelling on my mistakes. I'm looking forward to the Ephraim blessings in my life. Somewhere a saint can realize I'm not what I used to be, and I'm shouting and rejoicing because I've been changed. So the focus of God, seated please, I'm hurting. The focus of God is not on wasted opportunities. Not on what we've wasted and what we've lost. But what do you have? Let me tell you something, friend. Manasseh will have you thinking
because of your past, you can never really be valuable in the kingdom of God. And I've got news for somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost. It's because of your past you are so valuable to the Holy Ghost. Oh my God, help us tonight. You say, because of my past, I've got no potential. But I'm saying, it's because of your past, you've got great potential. Because guess what? You're not the only one with a bad past. There's somebody coming in right behind you that needs to hear your testimony. Hey, if I made it, so can you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. That's why I preach to single mothers. Don't quit the church because there's another single mother that needs your strength. That's why I tell the ex-drug addict, the ex-whoremonger, hey, there's somebody out there just like you. Hang around and let God use you. Somebody ought to shout amen. I mean, you ought to shout amen. Focus. God is on right now. Let's talk about this season. This revival. This opportunity. How can we go forward from here? How can we make our future better than our past? Let's refuse to limit our future with the misery of past misfortunes. Anybody got faith for right now? Anybody believe that this revival can put a distance between you and the haunting nightmare of your past? Anybody believe in this revival? God can set you free from things that have kept you bound for years and years and years, and walk out tonight with a godly boldness. I'm not a Manasseh, I'm an Ephraim, and God loves me, and God has my interest on his heart, and God is blessing my life. Say, Brother Green, do you really know what you're talking about? Well, I'll just tell you. After God helped me have this little message put together one time, I think I preached it. I've only shared this maybe just a church or two. I'll never forget, in prayer one day, man, after getting beat up by the devil in life and all that, and man, I remember the words of that prophet, live, 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 live. And man, when you feel like your world's being crushed and you feel like your dreams are being destroyed, somewhere the Ephraim's going to rise up in you that says you're going to live, son. The dream is not dead. It ain't over yet, son. You got to live. You got to live. Son of man, can these bones live? God, thou knowest. Speak the word. Live. 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 I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost, you got to lift your head up and live and live and be blessed. Blessed. Let me hurry. Another story quickly. I'm just going to mention this quickly. Elijah went to Zarephath to be sustained by a widow woman. He said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. He said, bring me a morsel of bread also. And old Manasseh spoke up, if you please. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little cruse in oil. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. That is you right there. Right. You look in the mirror, that's all you see is somebody with not a lot to offer God. Can I tell you something? It's all throughout the Bible. It's like the old song says, little is much
when God is in it. God don't need a whole lot. Do you think God needs a super Walmart to feed 5,000 men plus their families? No, just somebody that says it ain't a whole lot, but I give you the best I have. I give you all I have. I'm telling somebody, you go, my God, the devil's a liar. Quit, oh, Jesus. Quit looking at yourself like you're a nobody with no potential, nothing to give God. That's your Manasseh talking. Understand, what I have belongs to God. And let God anoint it. And let God use it. And let God bless it. Oh, let's love the Lord. Come on. Come on, man. Come on, sir. Come on, young lady. Come on. You really want to see the blessings of God? Start walking hand in hand with an Ephraim. Seated, please. I'm hurrying. I'm almost close. When you pray, pray like an Ephraim would pray. There's times to go and crawl on the floor and weep and cry and all that. And there'll be times you do have to pray about Manasseh. There's situations. There's kids that try to live for God and their parents fight them. I understand that. It doesn't end. It's always in their face. But you can't let life just bring you down all the time. You got to realize I'm an Ephraim. I'm not Manasseh. I've got the favor of God on my life. I repented of my sins. He filled me with His Spirit. I know it because I spoke in an unknown language. All my sins were washed away because I got water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I've got the blood. I've got the name. I've got the Spirit. And bless God, I've got the favor. Amen. And the woman will drag me down. But I'll go back to prayer and say, I'm not Manasseh. I'm Ephraim. Your mother don't understand it. Your daddy don't see it. Your kids don't believe it. But that don't change the fact. I am an Ephraim. I'm not Manasseh. Somebody praise the Lord tonight. Come on, Ephraim. Lift your voice and praise Him. Lift your voice and praise Him. Ikayoto rabababa yanda yavoshoto. Be seated, please. It don't take a lot of prayer and fasting to know some things. Some things are just, you can tell. There's people sitting right here right now. I don't know your story, but I promise you, I could put my hand on your forehead and I could tell you, you're fighting your past. You are the product of an unfortunate childhood. You can just tell. You can tell in their actions, their manners, their demeanor, you can just tell. Some hide it better than others. Some it wasn't bad as others. But I'm telling you, I'm still on this little candy stick. Don't think because you don't have the pure story of brother and sister so and so that you can't be used of God. Thank God for young men of a testimony. I never went out there. I never tasted the world. I've lived for God all my life. You know what? Thank God for that. I don't shun that. But guess what? When another young man comes in and he don't have that same testimony, he can't relate and he can't relate. But thank God for the man that says, I went out there, I backslid, and I know it's not good enough. And that man with his past can minister to somebody with the same story. I've done somebody. God can and God will use you. If you don't let Manasseh bottle you up and control the rest of your life.
Anybody can go through trials in this life. And some people never learn. Don't walk in with them trials on your countenance. Poor, I mean, some people think, I hope there's nobody here like this. If there are, I don't know you're here. But some people, you can tell what kind of day they had by just the look on their face. Amen. If I got robbed at gunpoint today, you wouldn't know it. I learned that a long time ago. I'm going to walk to this pulpit like I got a basket full of chocolate candy. And I did. And it's going to get robbed when I get home. But you know, that's okay. I'm still smiling. I'm not going to walk in this house and let my praise be dictated by the events of the day. I'm going to walk in this house and just, oh, poor, pitiful me. I've got a bad story. I've got a bad song to sing. Oh, no, you don't. God found you when you were a sinner. And God called you. And God loved you. And God washed you. And God saved you. That's enough to run the aisles every service and to shout your hair down and give God the highest praise. Come on, Sister Reed. Let's lift our hands. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Well, let's thank God for mercy tonight. Thank God for God changing your story. He changed your life. Abram, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Abram, it all changes today. I'm changing your name. Jacob, no, from today on, I'm calling you Israel. It all changes today. I'm not calling you by your past name. I've given you a brand new identity. Peter! Simon Barjona! And I call thee Peter. Because I'm changing everything today, Peter. You're not going to be identified by your past. You'll be identified by your future. Amen. I got big plans for you, Abraham. I got big plans, Israel. I got big plans, Peter. And guess what, Ephraim? God's got big plans. I'm not Manasseh. I'm Ephraim. I don't recognize my past. Don't call me by my past. Call me Ephraim. I am doubly blessed. So I close with this tonight. Joseph leads the boys to his father. Jacob crosses his hands. Dad, whoa, whoa, whoa! What are you doing, Dad? That's not right. Not so. Oh, yeah. What are you doing, Dad? I tell you what I'm doing, son. You've held this bitterness in your heart long enough. It's time to change some things. And from today on, I'm taking away your excuses. I'm not getting rid of your Manasseh. Your Manasseh helped make you what you are. I could preach a whole lot longer than y'all want to stay tonight. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to put the spotlight on Ephraim. I'm going to tell you what. There's people here that can be so tender to the things of God and so mightily used of God because your past is so broken you that God can use you. I'm fighting lies from hell tonight. It's got people so bogged down. I'm telling you, this man needs you. This church needs you. Yea, God needs you. It's high time. And I wasn't going to get on this tonight because I felt this Wednesday night. And I said, well, I'll save it for another night. But I'm just going to give a little excerpt. It's high time
for the long mouth gossiping, backbiting tongue to shut their mouth and quit dividing the church and realize God could use you. There's somebody out there that's just like you were. Go find them and bring them in and disciple them.
So what's God want to do? God wants to take care of some excuses tonight. And I don't believe it's time. I don't believe tonight is the night for you to get out of your pew and come around this front and say, God, help me be more like Abraham and less like Manasseh. No, I don't feel the weeping spirit on me tonight. I feel like somebody will turn to a lying devil and put your toes right in his mouth and say, you lied to me long enough. I got a Holy Ghost boldness on me tonight. I'm blessed of God. I'm doubly blessed of God. And from tonight on, I'm not hanging my head like some victim somewhere. I'm a child of God. I'm loved by God. I've got God's favor. I'm blessed by God. I'm going to let God use me. Come on, step out and give God some praise. Anybody want to be like Ephraim? Step out from your pew and say, my name's Ephraim. I'm not Manasseh. Step out and declare that. My name is Ephraim and not Manasseh. Come on, sing. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice.
Oh, look what the Lord has done. Oh, he's healed my body. He's
come on, that's it.
He
that's it.
Me. It was
you ought to shout about it.
And I'm going to
you ought to shout about it.
Each day he's just the same.
Hallelujah. He's an Ephraim. They will lift up the voice tonight and give God some praise.
What the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Oh, he's healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. And I'm gonna praise his name. Oh, each day he's just the
come on, that's
same.
It. That's it. God can
I'm
use you.
Praise him.
God can use you. Come on.
The Lord
come on.
Has done.
Come on. In Jesus' name.
What the Lord has
in the name of Jesus. Put your hand upon the Lord. Hey! Lead and guide the vessel, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
He saved me. It was just in time.
Hallelujah!
I'm gonna praise his name.
My name is Ephraim.
He's just the same.
Yes!
I'm gonna praise him. Look what the Lord
come on, that's it. That's it, that's it, that's it.
Oh, look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. He's healed my body and he touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. And I'm gonna praise his name. Oh, each day he's just the same. I'm gonna praise him. Look what the Lord has
come
done.
Come on, that's it.
Oh,
let God touch you, sir. Let God touch you, ma'am. Come on, come on,
look
come on.
What the Lord has done.
Well,
he's healed my body and he touched
come on, that's
my
it.
Mind.
That's
he
it. Get a boldness on you tonight. God's going to use me.
I'm going to praise his name. You say he's just the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done.
Come on, sing it one more time.
Look what the Lord has
come on, ladies.
Done.
Come on, men, help us.
Look what the Lord
hallelujah.
Has done.
Hallelujah.
He's healed my body and he touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. And I'm
going
to praise his name.
That holy name.
You say he's just the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord
hallelujah.
Has done.
Oh, that's
look
a young man.
The Lord has done.
God wants to use you.
Oh, God wants to use you.
And he touched my mind. He saved me. Just in
come on,
time.
That's it. Hallelujah.
I want to praise his name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Each day he's just the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He's healed my body and he touched my mind. He saved me.
Oh,
it was
just
in time. And I'm going to praise his name.
Oh, hallelujah.
He said he's just the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He's healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. And I'm going to praise his name. Oh, each day he's just the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done.
Come on, I want just the Ephraims to lift their voice right now. I want all the Ephraims to lift your voice right now. Come on, I want the Ephraims to praise the Lord right now. That's it. Feel the void. Feel the silence, Ephraim. Let your Manasseh know you don't own me. You don't own this man. Come on, that's it. Yeah, God's got a plan. God's got a plan for your life. God's going to use you, young lady. Yes. 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 Yeah. There's a place. Yes. Come on, Ephraim. There's power in your praise. Power in your praise. You want to shout? I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Yes! Come on, parents. Come on, parents. Join in. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to do something right now. Now, some of y'all may not want to do this. Listen to me. I know y'all think, sometimes people think we're crazy for doing this, but you know, when you get baptized in Jesus' name, it just signifies the washing away by the blood. That's not real blood, that's water. But your obedience to the word, God does that, the work. Now, this may sound crazy, but there's a bunch of us here tonight. We've all got something we'd like to change or undo. You ought to take that Manasseh that just is in your ear. I'm talking, you ought to physically remove that and throw it to the ground. And then you ought to just kind of lightly step on that thing and say, you don't own me anymore. Now, or you could take that Manasseh off and throw on the ground. And you could kind of firmly step on it if you wanted to. And say, buddy, I really mean business. You don't own me anymore. Something's changing tonight. Or you could take that Manasseh, throw it on that ground, and say, you know what? I ain't going to tap toe on you tonight. I'm going to stomp like I'm trying to put out a forest fire. And say, from tonight on, something's changing in my life. You don't own me no more. Anybody got enough guts to do that right now? Grab that Manasseh off your ear. Throw that thing down and stomp on that thing right now. And say, my name's Ephraim. My name's Ephraim. And stomp on your past. Shout on your past. And let God use you again. Sing, come on. In Jesus' name. Stop on it. Stop on it. I'm changing. I'm a brand new person. Something breaking in the Holy Ghost.
Oh, look what the Lord has done.
Somebody ought to sing that tonight.
Look what the Lord has done.
There's been a change.
He's healed my body and he touched my mind.